Galatians 4 is where we're going to start this morning. We're going to turn to Galatians chapter 4. We'll start in verse 22. For the last, month or so, I've been talking to you about how that our deepest spiritual needs, emotional needs, even psychological needs, are met through the gospel of Christ. And in the kingdom of God's dear Son. And I hope the Lord will bless me to continue on that. Last week we looked at our need for a father. Our need to know our father. You can think of that from the physical point of view. I mean, one of the horrible dilemmas that's facing our current society is so few young people live in the home with their fathers. Some of them don't even know who their father is. And if they do know who their father is, maybe he's not much of a father, right? Well, God fathers all of his spiritual children, right? God fathers them. God begets them into divine life. No woman on earth has ever fathered a child. I can define a woman, I don't care if anybody else can or not, I can. I can define a woman. That's snarky, isn't it? God fathers his children, gives them life, but then God also provides for his children, right? And we saw some of that. God's a good provider. God also makes us work for it a little bit, remember? Yep. Okay, today, the Lord will bless me. I want to tell you that you have a heavenly mother as well. And I assure you, this heavenly mother that the Bible refers to as the mother of us all in Galatians 4, I'll get there in a minute, is on planet Earth right now. And it is the local church, the local assembly, which is also the bride of Christ. Okay, pause. Do not think that the whole elect family is the bride of Christ. That's not true. Out of that whole elect family is the bride of Christ, the local assembly, married to Christ and the mother of his children on this earth. Do you hear me? And this is one of the, to me, most incredibly beautiful subjects in the whole Bible and almost universally misunderstood. The Lord's church, the New Jerusalem, the Lord's church is the New Jerusalem, is the mother of us all. Okay? And like a physical mother meets the physical needs of her children, even so does this spiritual mother meet the spiritual needs of her children, which are actually the children of her husband. This is from all through the Bible, this thing I'm just trying to describe to you. Okay. The church, the bride of Christ, is not a single parent. Now, I know there are some people who have to be single parents. I get that. The church is not, the bride of Christ is not a single parent. She has a good husband. She's married, are you listening, to Christ. The church is the only woman I know of whose husband is perfect. Now, we men may want to think we're perfect, but just forget it. The church is married to Christ, and Christ is perfect. She is not an unwed mother. Are you with me? She's married to Christ. She is his bride. And she cares for her husband's children while he is, so to speak, temporarily absent. Now, this is taught all the way through the Bible in Ephesians chapter 5, which I'm not going to refer to. I'm going to refer to it, but don't turn to it. Galatians 4 is where I'm heading. But in Ephesians chapter 5, when it talks about the husbands, love your wives and all that stuff, goes through all that, several verses down there, get to the very end of Ephesians 5, and it says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And y'all, that means the local assembly. Y'all, do children, especially babies, need their mothers? What do you say? And I wonder if God's little children need a spiritual mother in a very similar way. What do you think? Galatians 4. Boy, do I need your prayers. 22. Everybody there? This is a very intricate passage. Y'all just give me your attention. Think with me. For it is written that Abraham had two sons. They are Ishmael, Isaac. Right? Galatians 4:22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, Hagar, the other by a free woman, Sarah. But he who was of the bondwoman, Ishmael, was born after the flesh. Y'all remember all this story? But he, born of the free woman, Isaac, was by promise. Now you got to think about Genesis. Which things are an allegory? That means that lesson back there teaches us higher spiritual lessons. That's what that means. For these are, that is, okay, you listening? Ishmael, Hagar, Isaac, Sarah, these are the two covenants. Okay, my brothers and sisters, guess how many covenants there are going to be in time? Two and only two. And y'all, we are in the last of the two. But how many people think there are going to be different covenants coming up later on? These are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai. Now we got a mountain involved in this analogy, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. So we've got Hagar, Ishmael, Mount Sinai, all of which is the law service. As opposed to, over here on the other side, Sarah, Isaac, and Mount Zion. You Bible students are already thinking Hebrews, aren't you? You're not come to Sinai, but you're come to Mount Zion. the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. This is not taught in just one place in the Bible. It's taught all the way through the Bible. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia that answereth to Jerusalem, which now is. So, it gets more complicated still. I know, Brother Gary, you're out of your mind trying to preach on this. Y'all got your thinking caps on, though, don't you? And you've been well taught for many years before I ever got here. So, you've got Hagar, Ishmael, and Mount Sinai, which is the literal city of Jerusalem, which was in existence when this book was written in 58 AD. 58 AD, Jerusalem is still existing. It's only going to last 12 more years, though. What is this saying? This is saying that Sarah, Isaac, and Mount Zion are telling us of the New Jerusalem. You got the Old Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, which is the local assembly. And are you noticing that here in Galatians 4, those two, are you listening? Those two, the Old Jerusalem, literal Jerusalem, and literal Palestine, existed at the same time that the New Jerusalem did for 12 years. After which, God annihilated, destroyed the city of Jerusalem literally. But you and I still have the privilege and access to the mother of us all, which is the, he's fixing to tell us, the New Jerusalem, the local assembly. Are you with me? Now I'm going to read verse 25 again. Now I'm going to read 24 again. These things, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is still in existence in 58 AD, and notice, and is in bondage with her children. He is saying that the whole Jewish system is a bondage. Are you listening? Now that New Testament truth and worship has come. It's a bondage. But Jerusalem, which is above, obviously he's not speaking of literal Jerusalem, right? Something that's above that. Jerusalem, which is above, is free. Notice, which is the mother of us all. So I'm not making this up. I'm not making it up that the local church is the mother of the Lord's children. I'm not making it up that the local church is married to Christ, his bride, and the mother of his children. You may remember in Ezekiel chapter 16 when the dead baby is given life. Then later on, she grows up. You remember this? Her hair is grown and she develops breasts. You want to know why? So she can be a mother to the Lord's children. And then Christ passes by her the second time, and she loves him, and he enters into a covenant with her, and that means they are married. And she takes his name upon her. There's so many things involved in this. I mean, okay, y'all, you know what? I got a big family. Harveys and Honeycutts and heathens. Some of my family, they're pure enough heathens. They live way off, though. Now that I mention that, they live way off. Some of them north of Mason-Dixon line. Oops, did I say that? Got a big family. Y'all listening to me? Lots of cousin, lots of kin, distant relation. I am only married to one woman. There is only one woman on this planet who bears my name. Are you listening? Who does what she does in my name? Who can sign checks? In my name. Who looked after my sons? In my name. It's so beautiful it takes my breath, and this is the local assembly. You know who got up at 2 o'clock in the morning to feed John when he was screaming like a banshee? When he was 6 months old. It wasn't Gary. Who was it that dispensed the sincere milk to him? Aren't you glad to know the difference between men and women? This is not only physically true, but the spiritual ramifications are almost infinite of the differences. Jerusalem, which is above, is free. The mother of us all. Now, I'm going to skip down to verse 31. Skip down to verse 31. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman. We are not the in the New Testament era, which is the last dispensation, we are no longer the children of the bondwoman. We are no longer the children of the old Jerusalem. We are no longer the children of Mount Sinai. Well, who, you know who we are? But of the free. We are now the children of the free woman, typified by Sarah, Mount Zion, and the New Jerusalem. Does this not just about blow your mind? Right here in Galatians. Taught elsewhere too. Okay. My brothers and sisters, we have a Heavenly Father. One of the most critical, fundamental, primal needs we all have as God's children, are you listening, is to know you have a Heavenly Father. And to know who He is. And to know He provides for His own, and sometimes, and He makes us work, which is healthy. Mike and I were talking this morning. You give, if you just give somebody everything they ever worked for, you know what? It doesn't mean as much to them. Look, if you have to work, even in the household of faith, in the kingdom of God, if you have to work for it some, it'll mean more to you. And by the way, you do have to work for it in the kingdom of God. I quote my son John, his sermon, I don't know how many months ago, work is worship and worship is work. That's a pretty good sermon. I wish I could say I'd given him the outline, but I can't. He came up with that on his own. All right, now. We have a Heavenly Father, and we have a spiritual or heavenly mother, too. Are you with me? It is so beautiful. And you know what our spiritual mother does? Pretty much a lot of the things that regular physical mothers do. On the spiritual level, though. So for the rest of my time, and I've taken too much time already, I want to talk about some of those things that our spiritual mother does for us as God's children. Now, does everybody in here understand? We're talking about what a mother does for children that are already alive. Everybody understand that, right? That's what we're talking about. Who fathers children? The male. By the way, did you know this is why God is referred to as male in the Bible? And all the people that want to take gender out of the Bible? Anathema. God is male, not because the Bible is sexist. That's crazy. Forgive me. God is called male because He fathers His children. He begets us into divine life with Holy Spirit regeneration. But then we have a mother that takes care of us while we're here. All right. First thing, mothers nurse their babies. Now, this is what you get back. You got to realize in the first century, there was no such thing as formula. Right? You didn't go down, you know, to the Piggly Wiggly downtown Jerusalem and get formula. Right? Did you know God uses biology to teach us spiritual lessons? Biology. Mothers nurse their babies. They feed them. And may I say that mothers are particularly well equipped to do that. Men are not. That's why I said that about Ezekiel 16. When the baby that's given life grows up, her hair is grown, and she develops breasts in order to be a mother. Mothers, then, dispense milk to their children. Can you say amen? 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. Guess what the Lord's church does? Just guess. It's so unbelievable to me. So incredible. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, boy, do we need to do some of that? Let's lay all that aside. As newborn babes, what's that doing in the Bible? Desire the sincere milk of the Word. You know what the mother of the Lord's children does? She nourishes God's children with the sincere milk of the Word of God. That's what she does. You know what the word sincere means? I wrote it down. Looked it up in my handy dandy trusty Oxford English Dictionary. It means not falsified or perverted in any way. That's the first definition of the word sincere in the OED. Not falsified or perverted in any way. The Lord's bride dispenses the sincere milk of the Word of God to His children. And may I ask you, where do you reckon they're going to get, are they going to get that anywhere else? Is there any other entity in the world that provides that? Babies need milk. God's spiritual children need the sincere milk of the Word, and this is where you come to get it. Are you with me? That's point number one. I got about 18 points. I'm kidding. Yeah, Lenny. I know what I'll do. Next time Lenny says something to Bible study, I'm going to say, rawr, rawr. That's what I'll do. I'm teasing. Mothers nurse their babies. So does the Lord's church, the mother of us all, spiritually nurse God's spiritual children. Do you see the parallel, my brothers and sisters? It is so phenomenal. All right, second, mothers wash their babies. They wash them. I might say they wash them frequently. They wash their babies. Now, you all know that when you get a hold of a really good, clean, washed baby, it smells so good you about can't stand it, right? I mean, it's just something about it. Why don't you understand it? Mamas wash their babies and keep them clean. and smelling good. I wonder if the Lord's church might do something similar. Ephesians 5:25. The mother of the Lord's children washes them too. Now, y'all, we're not talking about, listen to me, we're not talking about she washes them in blood. You know who washed his elect in blood? Christ and only Christ. But the Lord's church does wash the Lord's children in water. And I've thought about water. You know water? You can drink water and you can wash in water. Water's pretty cool. By the way, don't drink the water you wash in, but I mean, for heaven's sake. But you can drink water, you can wash in water. Listen to what the Bible says in Ephesians 5. You there with me? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You know what the water is that washes the Lord's children in the church? The Word of God. Does it wash us or does it not? Now again, I'm not talking about being washed in the blood of Jesus. That was what Jesus did. I'm talking about the gospel washing us so that we don't stink so bad, smell a little bit better. Are you with me? It's crazy. So beautiful. The gospel is the cleanser. Now, I got to thinking about this morning. You know, you got baby wash, right? Baby wash, baby shampoo, baby this and that. No tears, baby shampoo. That's the gospel of Christ. Just wash yourself in it. It won't even make your eyes sting. The washing of water by the word. I ask you, is not God's word referred to a lot in the Bible as water, the water of the word? You need a good drink of water from time to time, and from time to time, pretty frequently, we need to be washed in the same water. Are you with me? This is what the mother of the Lord's church does. I wonder how incredible a gift it is and how we take it for granted. How much does the gospel, I'll ask you, how much does the gospel cleanse our thoughts from evil? How much does the gospel cleanse our lives from evil? How much does the gospel cleanse our minds and thoughts of false doctrine? False religion. It's washing us all the time, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Okay. Third. So, moms, mothers, the mother of us all, feeds her babies the milk of the word. The mother of us all washes her babies in the water of the word. You know what? If you're washed in the water of the word, you're going to smell better to your neighbors, your family members, right? This is what the Lord's church does. She's the mother of us all, married to Christ, the mother of us all. There's no question about it, Galatians chapter 5. Okay, third, mothers clothe their babies. They clothe them. Put clothes on them. Feed them. Wash them. Put clothes on them. You say, Brother Gary, this is pretty basic. You're exactly right. And I want y'all to know, are you listening? The Church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, meets the most basic spiritual needs of God's children on this planet right now. It has been doing so since 58 AD and will keep doing so to the end of time. I say, come and get it. Come and get it. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Where in the round world are we going to acquire the various articles of the armor of God to wear in order to be protected from a crazy world? Where are we going to get those articles? The shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Where are we going to get all that? We're going to get it from the mother of the Lord's children. Jerusalem, which is above, is free, not the ceremonial law. She's free. She's the mother of us all. Unbelievable to me. Now I ask you, do we need some of that clothing to ward off the fiery darts of the wicked? We need to be well clothed. Oh, man. Proverbs 31:21 says this. Proverbs 31:21. Remember now, Proverbs 31 is that chapter about that tremendous woman. The woman whose price is far above rubies. Remember? A virtuous woman. And I'm going to tell you that Proverbs 31 is a picture of the bride of Christ, the mother of us all, the local church, because I don't think there's any woman in the world who can do everything that that woman in Proverbs 31 does. But now there's some good instruction in there for women. Women need to be taking care of their household. Yes, they do. Guiding the home. You listening, ladies? Young ladies, guiding the home. What's the Lord's church doing? Guiding the home while her husband is absent. Amen. Under the authority of her husband, in the name of her husband, she's doing these things for his children right here. And may God help us not to take it for granted. Okay, Proverbs 31:21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She clothes her babies. Now, there is a sense in which, listen to me very carefully, the gospel and the church dresses God's children in righteousness. Listen to me very carefully. I'm not talking about the righteousness that was imputed to us when Christ died for us that will take us to heaven. I'm talking about we learn how to live righteous and godly lives from the sincere milk of the Word, from the water of the Word, and we learn how to dress ourselves in right living. This is one of the functions of the Lord's church as well. Gospel righteousness is found in the bride, in the mother of us all. It's where we're taught how to live. That is, if what we're being taught is the whole counsel of God, we're being taught how to live, how to walk rightly before God, aren't we? We're being taught how to treat our neighbors. Taught how to be better husbands, better wives, better sons and daughters, better mothers and fathers, better employees, better employers. How badly do we need it, my brothers and sisters? How badly do we need to daily put on the clothing we need to live a godly life as we live? By the way, do you have to work at it? You know what? I've thought about that armor of God so much. You know, a soldier has to be trained how to put his armor on. You got to work at it. You got to learn how to do it. You got to practice at it. My brothers and sisters, in every aspect of our lives, we need this. We need it. In fact, we need it worse than we think we need it. Worse than we know. Fourth, you know what else mothers do for their children? Mamas, real live mamas, physical mamas. They comfort their children. Number four, they comfort their children. And I'm going to insist that mamas can comfort their children better than us daddies. In fact, I remember very well, John and Seth fall down, scrape themselves or whatever, have a boo-boo, and they'd run around me to get to mama. Any of you dads have that experience? Your babies run around daddy to get to mama. The Lord's teaching us, y'all listen, the Lord is teaching us all the time in real life how bad we need a spiritual mother while we live. Mamas comfort their babies. Now we dads do the best we can in our ineptitude. In other words, we're not good at it, but we just try. We do the best we can. Mamas got it. Seth Rowe was telling me how to hold the baby the other day, and I did the best I could. And I handed him to Becky. Nobody had to tell Becky what to do. We men do the best we can. Moms hug and kiss, cuddle their babies, kiss away their boo-boos. Right? Even so, the mother of us all. Isaiah 40. Y'all knew, I bet y'all are already thinking I was going to go to Isaiah 40, weren't y'all? Let's just wallow around in it a minute. Isaiah 40. The mother of us all comforts her children too. Yes, she does. She does. Isaiah 40. 1 and 2. Everybody there? Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Isaiah 40. 1 and 2. Comfort ye, my people. The Bible does not say, scare ye, my people. Scare them to death. Comfort ye, my people. Saith your God. Who says that? Speak ye comfortably to the new Jerusalem. I'm slipping that in there. This is written in the old Jerusalem. I'm speaking to the new Jerusalem. Speak ye comfortably to the new Jerusalem and cry unto her, are you listening, that her warfare is accomplished. That her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. I wonder if the God's children need to hear that message right there all over the world. This is the comfort that is given us through the milk and the water by the Lord's church, the mother of us all, while we live. She is telling us, Christ, are you listening, my beloved? Fought your battle on the cross. Your warfare was fought for you by Christ. You couldn't have fought that battle even if you tried. Christ fought it for you, and he won the victory. He won the victory over sin, death, hell, the grave. And guess what? He giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You will notice he does not offer you this victory. He gives you the victory. And don't forget, giving a gift to a dead person is not the same as giving a gift to a living person. I'm sorry. You don't offer a gift to a dead person. Jesus Christ has never offered life to a dead person. He gives it to them. And then we've got some work to do, don't we? Mm-hmm. Your warfare. This is the comfort. This is the spiritual comfort the mother of us all gives the Lord's children. She says to them, your warfare is accomplished. Now, pause. Do we or do we not, each and every one of us, you've been taught, each and every one of us have a warfare every single day as God's children that we live through right now. That warfare is still going on, but listen here. The ultimate end of that warfare, even Jesus Christ won that warfare for you. Your warfare is accomplished. And then the message is, your iniquity is pardoned. You will notice there's no contingency here. Your iniquity is pardoned if you'll do thus and no. Your iniquity is pardoned. The warfare is accomplished. Your iniquity is pardoned. This is the message of the mother of us all to the Lord's children to let them know. Does anybody in the world need this comfort? God's children who are burdened down with a sense of their own wickedness need this comfort. And guess where they're going to get it? From the mother of us all. And what God's children ought to be doing is running like crazy to get to the mother of us all to get some of this comfort. Oh, I'm just crazy about it. Okay. Her iniquity is pardoned. Done deal. Done deal. End of discussion. Your iniquity is pardoned. Remember, thrown into the depths of the sea, Micah. Put behind the Lord's back, Isaiah. Never to be remembered against us anymore, Jeremiah and Hebrews. May I be so mean as to say, no false doctrine will comfort God's people like the truth of God's word and the truth of his sovereign grace. Telling you you've got to outrun the devil every day so that you can go to heaven is no comfort. That scare ye, not comfort ye. Are you with me? Now, is there stuff we're supposed to be doing for the Lord? Absolutely. Can God get angry with us as disobedient children? You bet. Can he take us out? Does he take us out behind the woodshed and tan our hides? You know what? One thing the gospel is supposed to do is tan your hide. That's one function of the gospel. You know, that's one thing mamas sometimes have to tan their babies' hides. That's not even in my list here, but that's true, isn't it? Becky used to carry a wooden spoon in the diaper bag. Bless her heart, because her husband was in the pulpit every Sunday. All you mothers hear that? Becky's husband was in the pulpit every Sunday. And so sometimes she tanned her hide. I was talking to Dolph Painter one time, and I got to hurry up. Dolph, you know, remember his wife died, and he had three children, and he was in the pulpit one day, and his boys were getting out of hand, and he got down out of the pulpit, made the congregation sing, and took them out and whipped them, and then came back in and finished the sermon. Now, I never had to do that, because Becky did it. Do we get discipline from the mother of us all? This is not even in my notes, but this is true. We do get discipline from the mother of us all. Yes, we do. We get training. John, make your bed. Seth, make your bed. You know what Becky never said? Okay, forgive me, Becky. This is why Becky's leaving me Wednesday, right? Becky never said, Seth, you want to make your bed? Never! Parents, you listen to me? John, you want to make your bed? Nope. John, make your bed. Seth, make your bed. Training, training, training. Do you realize the house of God is where we get this training to? The mother of us all. That's okay. I'm going to charge you extra for that. That was spontaneity. My fifth point is simply that mothers teach their children. Do mothers teach their children? All the time. Mothers are teaching their children one way or the other. Mothers are teaching their children to do right or teaching them they can get away with murder, one or the other. Mothers, the mother of us all, is constantly teaching her children. Constantly. Let me close this with the Matthew, the great commission. Listen to this. Chapter 25. That's not true. Chapter 28. Last two verses of the book of Matthew, right quick. Before Lila gets cranked up. she had hiccups a minute ago. Isn't it that sweet? You think I'm not glad she's in here? Got the hiccups and everything. Mothers teach their children, so does the mother of us all teach her children. Yes, sir. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye therefore and what? Teach all nations. This is the commission where the Lord's saying, now, church, you are to go to all nations, Jew, Gentile, go to all nations. What are you supposed to do? Teach them. Also, baptizing them. Right here is where the church gets its authority to baptize people. How do we baptize people? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Right there is where we get that. Teaching them. So we teach them, then we baptize them, and then we keep teaching them. So we are being taught in the household of faith. The mother of us all teaches her children just like regular mamas teach theirs. Y'all, the Lord's church was in existence in 58 AD when Paul wrote the letter to the Galatians. He wrote it to the Galatians. The Lord's church is in existence today, and she is still that spiritual mother. She is still Sarah, Zion, the New Jerusalem, which is above, free, the mother of us all. And by that, God is providing some of the most deep needs that we have as His children. And I thank you for your great attention.